Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is July 11th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Start the printing presses, ladies and gentlemen. The Federal Reserve is going to come to the rescue. This is no surprise to us here. Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, concludes his two-day statements, two-day testimony, if you will, before the House and Senate. And he has given every indication that he, along with the Federal Reserve, are going to cut interest rates at the end of this month. Again, no surprise here. How are the markets reacting? Most of it seemed to be priced in. There hasn't been any spectacular rally, although the major indices are all hitting new highs. The S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ. However, the Russell 2000, the small cap index, remains well below its all-time highs from last year. So today, the S&P was able to gain 7 points. However, it closed just shy of closing at or above the 3,000 mark. It actually closed at 2,999.91, if you can believe that. The Dow rallied 228 points, representing a 0.85% increase for the day. The NASDAQ actually lost 6.5 points, and the Russell 2000, the small cap index, also shed 7 points to close down for the day. The Dow Jones Transports, however, had an aggressive day and climbed 1%. This was on the back of some earnings reports out of, I believe it was Delta Airlines, which beat expectations, moving that average up. And there was also some stronger forward guidance coming out from Goldman Sachs. I think they lifted FedEx too, so that obviously lifted the Dow Jones Transports. But we're going to keep an eye on this because there is still quite the divergence between the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Transports. So we're going to have to keep our eye on this one, see what happens. The Dow Jones Transports is a leading indicator. The S&P 500 is well above it. We have not seen such a gap for this duration for the past year and a half. So if anything, I would anticipate that the S&P 500 would converge to where the Dow Jones Transports is. However, we do live in the financial world of Oz. We do have a central bank that is going to be cutting interest rates. Will this lead to a melt-up or another little short-term rally in the stock market? All remains to be seen, but we're going to keep our eye on it. The New York Stock Exchange was relatively flat. However, it did close up 0.2% for the day. Oil rallied very strongly. I know I didn't do a podcast yesterday, but it rallied very strongly yesterday, about 4%. And was relatively flat today, but nevertheless, WTI is trading at $60.70 a barrel. Meanwhile, Brent crude is now trading at $67 a barrel. So quite the rally we have seen in the price of oil. This is on the back primarily of a weaker dollar because of the anticipation that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates, therefore weakening the strength or the value of the U.S. dollar, therefore pushing commodities prices up. Gold, however, has been fluctuating over the course of the past few days, as we have been noting, but it is now trading at $1,411 an ounce. Silver is trading at $15.18 an ounce. I still believe both of these precious metals are undervalued as to where they will be over the course of the coming years, particularly that of silver. Buy low, sell high, I always say. U.S. 10-year Treasury gained 3 percentage points today and now sits at 2.12%. 2.12% on Uncle Sam's 10-year. We just got out the other day. We were telling you about how there are some major banks issuing some forecasts and some caution, perhaps even some warnings, if you want to use that strong language, that we could see a reversal in rates. Well, this could be the start of it. Now, a couple days doesn't make a trend, but it could be the start of one. So we're going to have to keep our eye on this. This is why I give this overview every day of these indices and of some of these assets. They are worth paying attention to. They tell a story. They paint a picture. So with this, with the Federal Reserve most likely going to cut interest rates, if not this meeting, which they most likely will, but definitely somewhere later on this year, will the Federal Reserve attempt to steepen the yield curve? That is to say, will they push down short-term rates? Will they push up longer-term rates, allowing the banks to actually make some money? because we were talking on several podcasts in the not-too-distant past about the inversion of the yield curve. This tends to portend an oncoming recession. It's not imminent. It's not overnight. Typically not even for several months, if not even a year or longer. But it is a good indicator. It is an important economic puzzle piece, as far as I'm concerned, in painting a picture as to how the economy is functioning, how the financial services industry, how the banks are functioning, and what that is going to mean for the overall economy moving forward. We have had an inverted yield curve, particularly on the three-month Treasury bill against the 10-year, for quite a while. So is the Federal Reserve going to come in and start messing with that? Most likely they will. Too late, too little, too late in my book, but that's how it's going to be. The VIX is still trading at relatively low levels. It is now at $12.93. We're going to continue to monitor this. Again, folks, typically when it goes down below 13, typically springs back up, but that's not to say that it's written in stone, because it's not. It could definitely go lower. So we're going to have to keep our eye on this. We were talking the other day about our volatility model that I recently updated, and if that is any indicator, which I believe it is over the course of history that we have looked at that data and just conducting my analysis on this, that the rest of the year it's going to be volatile. Now, you could have a little bit of a slowdown here during the summer months. That tends to be lower volume. A lot of people are on vacation. They go away. So we'll see what happens. But I am anticipating, and we have been stating this for quite a while, even without having to look at the data on this model most recently, that I was sticking with it from my earlier analysis earlier in the year, that we are going to have another volatile year like we did last year. It's just what seems to be the case when you look at this model and you look at the numbers. Again, not set in stone, but that's what I'm sticking by. So a few headlines here before I get to the real topic of discussion today. So Singapore GDP shrinks 3.4% quarter over quarter. That's not good news for them. The U.S. budget deficit narrows sharply in June. Reading the headline, that would sound like good news. However, of course, if you look under the hood, it's not so great, because in totality, we're already standing at nearly $750 billion in deficit so far this fiscal year. And of course, the federal fiscal year ends in September, so we still have a couple months to go. So you do the math. We're most likely going to very closely approach another $1 trillion in an annual deficit. Supposedly at the time where we are in the greatest economy ever, which of course is a bunch of BS, but that's what we hear. The other thing that we hear from the president, and he must have been literally sitting in front of a television set during the testimony of Jay Powell, not so much because he was interested in what Jay Powell has to say, although to some degree he might have been. He wanted to see how the markets reacted to it, because the Dow Jones Industrial Average broke through 27,000 for the first time ever in history. And Twitter thumbs over there, the President of the United States, was sure to get the word out to let everybody know that the Dow broke 27,000. Hip, hip, hooray. Thank you, Mr. President. Of course, he thanks himself. That's what he does. So we'll see how long this is sustained. I think this is a lot of smoke and mirrors. I think if this does rally to the upside, it's going to be a melt up. On the other side, we will have a meltdown. That is what history tells us happens. Instead of allowing for markets to correct and do what they're supposed to do, nuh-uh. The president has to inject himself. The Federal Reserve has to continually place themselves right in the middle of the action. This is ridiculous. But this is the system. We have to pay attention to it. European stocks subdued after the IMF and ECB note continued worries. Wow. Who's shocked by this one? Not us here at the Capital News. We have been talking about this for forever and a day. This is why I am forecasting, again, not tomorrow, but over the course here as we move along, that the euro will move to parity against the U.S. dollar. Now, there's a lot of people who think that the dollar is really going to drastically weaken. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's going to be the first move. I think the first move is a lot of other global currencies are going to go a lot lower against the dollar first. I could be wrong, but that's my analysis and I'm sticking with it. Because the United States, despite all of our issues, the rest of the world is suffering too. They are slowing down too, and I don't think they're going to have, the ammunition that the United States will have to sort of fend off some of this. And primarily a lot of that comes from the Federal Reserve. I don't think this is good ammunition, by the way, but again, this is the system in which we live. So you got to play by the rules of the game that exist, not the game that you want to exist. So you got to be careful about that. So it's also timely that it's coming from the IMF as well, which of course is no longer under the acting leadership of Managing Director Christine Lagarde because she is under consideration to become the next president of the European Central Bank. So lo and behold, we have Christine Lagarde come out recently making statements that low interest rates, negative interest rates, are just fine and dandy by her. And then you have her institution, the IMF, come out and say, yeah, Europe, you're going to have some continued problems. So what does that mean? That means they're going to prime their printing presses as well. We're going to have even lower negative yields, and we're going to have even more negative yielding global debt. The distortions, the malinvestment, this is all going to come home to roost, folks, and it's not going to be pretty, believe you me. And we also have a continuation from the ECB with their most recent policy meeting minutes coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to cut rates if we have to, if we need to. Well, they're going to need to. So this is, again, going to be a race to the bottom in this new currency war. The sad thing is we have a president of the United States who is already talking down the U.S. dollar and wants, evidently, everything that you purchase to go up in price because that's what that means. If you decrease the value of the dollar, it's going to take more dollars to buy the same amount of goods. I am not an advocate of this policy, but if you think it's a good one, knock yourself out. Real quick, I do want to go around the world just real briefly here just to let you know what's going on in some of the other stock markets here. We have the British markets, the FTSE, was relatively flat for the day. The German market continues its decline on the back of deteriorating economic news, on the back of Deutsche Bank. I think Deutsche Bank actually gained 1% today, but this is going to fluctuate here over the course of the next few months before it decidedly goes south. I'm standing by that one. I do believe that Deutsche Bank, if it's not going to be the catalyst, it's definitely going to be a domino in this row of many, many dominoes that are set to fall. And it will bring down many more with it, believe you me. The French markets were down but relatively flat. The Italian markets, I believe, rallied to an all-time, not an all-time high, but a year high. So we'll have to keep our eye on them because the Italian economy continues to deteriorate as well. So this is just all on the backs of hope. This is on the backs of central bankers coming to the quote-unquote rescue with more stimulus. You're just throwing so much, it's not even good money, but so much good money after bad. That's all this is. We talked about the Bank for International Settlements saying that no fewer than 12% of non-financial companies are zombie companies, meaning they should be out of business, but for whether it be federal government assistance or central banker assistance, they're still in existence. You can't make this stuff up. This is not how a well-functioning market is supposed to behave, not even close to it. But that's the world, again, in which we live. So that's where we're at. What I want to talk about here a little bit more in discussion has to do with the federal funds rate, because when we talk about the Federal Reserve coming to the rescue and talking about interest rates, it is the federal funds rate that they are setting. And this is the overnight lending rate in which banks lend to each other on an overnight basis to meet their reserve requirements. Now, if you happen to graph out this data, the federal funds rate, you'll see how from all the way back to the 1950s, you had it around 2%, and then it made its way to an all-time high during the 70s and 80s when you had rampant inflation. And at the time, you had Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, say, you know what, we have to raise interest rates to such a degree to combat this inflation that it's going to cause a recession, but we're going to have to cause a recession to combat the inflation. Now, where did the inflation come from? Well, you guessed it. whole bunch of flawed policies from the Federal Reserve and the federal government. These things don't just happen. There's a genesis to them. And it's usually, you can lay it at the feet of the Federal Reserve and the federal government. It's this time is no different. That time was no different. It's what they do. This is why I talk constantly here. End the Federal Reserve and get rid of the income tax. You do those two things, you're going to solve a lot of problems real quick. Believe me when I tell you. So you had peak interest rates, if you will, from the federal funds rate standpoint, back in the early 80s. And ever since then, they have been on almost a 40-year decline, going ever lower, ever lower, ever lower. The point I want to make is if you look at this, and a lot of times when we talk here, and you'll hear it on the mainstream media, the financial mainstream media, are we in a bubble? What pops a bubble? What constitutes a bubble? Bubble this, bubble that, okay? So let's use that lingo. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that we're in a bubble, which I happen to believe that we are. Multiple bubbles. At the consumer level, the government level, most definitely at the corporate level. But this is what we have to pay attention to. Because if you look at a graph and you chart it out against recessions, when they occur, you will have, for that period, a peak in interest rates, which serves as a pin or a needle, if you will, that pricks and pops and bursts the bubble. It pops the balloon, okay? As you move along time, as you move along the x-axis, it takes a lower interest rate to pop the next bubble. And this makes sense because we have more money in the system. We have more liquidity in the system. It's making these bubbles bigger. So if you think of it as a balloon, if you inflate a balloon pretty much to its capacity, it'll burst. It'll burst if you go just a little bit further. So it's becoming the skin of that balloon becomes thinner and thinner the more you inflate it. So the pinprick, if you will, the increase in interest rates over time doesn't have to be as strong. The pressure that you apply to an ever-expanding balloon, I mean, you can barely touch it with that pin, with the end of that needle, and that bubble, that balloon's going to burst. See what I'm saying? It makes sense. I know it might be easier if you could actually see the graph. Go ahead and take a look at it. It's on the Federal Reserve's website. You can go ahead and download this graph, take a look at it. I really advise that you do. But over time, it takes a lower interest rate hiking cycle to burst the bubble, okay? So if you graph this out and you put a line across this, and you look at the last couple hiking cycles, going back to 2000 and going back to 06, 07, and then you draw that line and you expand it to where we are today, it's like it's just a beautifully sloped line. Where we are right now at a point where if my little theory here holds true that it takes a lower interest rate to pop an ever bigger balloon, an ever bigger bubble, then we're right there. We are right there. Again, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. But in the short term, and I'm talking a year, 18 months, that's my prediction that you're going to see some big weakening here in these numbers. It's either going to be an admission of a recession, or there's going to be some sort of sell-off in multiple markets. Stock markets, bond markets, currencies are going to go awry. There's going to be chaos. I honestly believe this to be the case. I don't think we're going to skirt this one. And to be honest with you, I hope we don't skirt this because this is what needs to happen. There is so much junk and garbage and malinvestment and distortion throughout this economy. Nobody knows right from wrong. And that's the problem. Because another interesting tidbit about this, and this comes from some studies within the Federal Reserve itself, because we also talk here quite a bit about quantitative easing, lower interest rates, right? Same thing we're talking about here right now. How this has caused distortionary effects, how this has caused a bubble, how we've had low interest rates for too long. If low interest rates for too long caused the financial crisis of 08-09, our solution was, well, hell, let's make them even lower for even longer. That must be the remedy. Of course, it wasn't. It just set us up for an ever bigger problem that we are going to be facing in the very near future, okay? So prepare yourself. But there's been studies done by the Federal Reserve, economists within the Federal Reserve, that says, all right, because the Fed has actually started a rate hiking cycle, which now seems to be ending, and in conjunction with quantitative tightening, which simply means all of that liquidity that they were throwing out into the system over the past decade, they're now starting to pull some of it back in. It varies by month in amount, but it's typically at about $50 billion per month, okay? So according to some of these economists within the Federal Reserve, the effect of quantitative tightening after a certain amount of time, after a certain amount of money has been brought back in, will equate to a rate hike, about 25 basis points. I believe, if memory serves me correctly, that every $200 billion worth of quantitative tightening equates to a rate hike of 25 basis points. Okay? So if the Federal Reserve has been pulling back $50 billion a month, we can say as a rule of thumb, every 4 months equates to another rate hike. Now, of course, this isn't baked into the cake. This isn't what is described on the headline number. We're told the headline number that the rate of the federal funds rate is 2.25% to 2.5%. But in reality, if these economists are correct, and I believe them to be correct, if not at 25 basis points, then somewhere, I mean, it's not zero, it's not negative, it is having a tightening effect, most definitely, which would imply a rate hike of some sort, then you're talking about right now a federal funds rate that should actually be looking at about 3, maybe even 3.5%. I'm going to have to go in and do a little deeper dive with the numbers, but right now, with my thesis here that it's going to take an ever smaller increase in interest rates to prick the bubble, well, right now, that's all it's going to take, being back at 3% de facto. Headline, 2.25, 2.5, which I think that's enough. Add on the quantitative tightening aspect to it, we blow past our line that we draw out here and extrapolate it past where we are today. It's exactly where we are. So we're going to have to pay attention to this because we're now probably going to be starting a new cycle in interest rates to the downside, because that's what the Federal Reserve historically does. They're not going to come in, lower them, say, my bad, we messed up back in December, didn't mean to cause that 20% bear market that we had in stock prices, my bad, now we're just going to give that one back to you guys, and we're going to call it a day, and we're not going to touch anything. Highly unlikely, especially given the fact that we're seeing a lot more economic data from this country and other countries around the world where that economic data is softening. And we're going to start getting some GDP figures coming out from around the world. We just read that one off about Singapore. They are in contraction quarter over quarter. We're going to see where the United States stands in a couple of weeks. We're going to see where most of the world stands in the next couple few weeks. And we're also going to be in the midst of earnings season. So there is a lot to pay attention to. Another interesting tidbit, and again, this all depends on the headline that you're going to read, but you have some numbers out there talking about inflation at a four-month low. But then if you look further within what the Federal Reserve, their inflation figure that they look at, it's actually at a multi-month high. You heard right. So it all depends on what number these guys want to look at. So if the Federal Reserve wants to say, well, inflation has been tame, well, the number that they look at just pierced 2%. It's a 2.1%. So is that just transitory to Chairman Powell? Or you're going to have to do something, because your mandate is full employment and stable prices. You've achieved those objectives. So what do you have to cut interest rates for? You're at market all-time highs. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is fraud and manipulation right in front of your face. And everybody just walks around like nothing's wrong. These are major issues. This debt, the malinvestment, the junk bonds that we talk about existing. I mean, it's coming home to roost, people. It is coming home to roost. And there's not enough money in the world to saturate it, to buy it up. There are not enough people out there with money to buy all this up and say everything's fine. I mean, is the Federal Reserve going to do it? Well, that's basically hyperinflationary. And do you want the Federal Reserve owning everything? because that's what they would do. They would have ownership of all of the assets. They'd have all the bonds. You want them starting to get into the stock market and buy up a whole bunch of shares and own these companies? I mean, so much for free market capitalism. That is the definition of socialism. And hell, I mean, the Federal Reserve isn't even federal. They're not even a part of the government. There's no real checks and balances. Yeah, he parades himself up there in front of Capitol Hill for a couple times, a couple days throughout the year. But what do those idiots on Capitol Hill know? What do they know? Most of them have questions that are brought to them by their staff members, because maybe some of the staff members actually know what's going on, but those politicians don't. Are they going to overrule him? No, they're not going to overrule the Federal Reserve. They're not going to do it. Are they going to change the charter? No, they're not going to change the charter. They're not going to do anything. And then you have the president. I don't know what side of the fence he's going to be on. I voted for him because he said that the Federal Reserve was causing problems. Now he wants them to continue causing problems. Is he doing this all for political points? Is he doing this because he wants reelected? Is he doing this because he took ownership of the economy and the stock market? And he doesn't want it to turn south on his watch and be blamed for it? So now he can say, well, I told the Fed to do this months ago. They're just finally listening to me. If they listened to me months ago, we'd be okay. But now if the markets turn over, it's all their fault. That's not leadership. That's not what and who I voted for. Highly disappointed. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if my volatility model holds up as we make our way throughout the rest of 2019. We'll see if my little theory here on the federal funds rate and an ever lower federal funds rate is needed to prick an ever larger, an ever increasing bubble. I mean, these are the economic points that I look at. And, you know, the last two that I was talking about here, those two models, those two theories, we're going to see if those hold out. And if they do, then I'm going to put them in my my toolkit for things to pay attention to as we move forward. But until then, we're going to stick with what we know works. We're going to stick with paying attention to what the President of the United States says, because we have to. We're going to have to pay attention to what the Federal Reserve does. We're going to have to pay attention to the forward guidance of many corporations as they continue to report earnings. And that, again, is really going to kickstart next week. So stay tuned to the Capitol News. Be prepared, have a plan, be diversified, buckle up. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure having you as always. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is the Capitol News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.